In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Please be seated.
Our scripture passage this morning picks up where we left off in our study of the book of Ruth. We will be covering verses 8 and 9. However, I'm going to start reading at verse 5 of chapter 2 in order to get us back into the flow of the passage. Hear now the word of God. Then in strength, that's Boaz, said to his young servant boy who watched over the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" So the young servant boy answered and said, "She is the young Moabite woman who returned with my pleasant one," that's Naomi's name in Hebrew, "who returned with my pleasant one from the fields of Moab. And she said to me, 'Please let me be a gleaner and gather among the stalks behind the reapers.' And thus she went and has remained from morning until now, except for this short break under the shelter." Then in strength said to companion, that's Ruth, said to companion, "Listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field. Furthermore, be careful not to cross over from this one, but stay here with my maids. Let your eyes be on the portion of the field from which they work and follow behind them. Indeed, I have commanded the young men not to touch you. When you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the servants draw." Let us pray. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for your word. Write this word on our hearts. May we be good stewards of your word, not just seed receivers, but fruit bearers. And Lord, may by your grace and spirit, may this word find good soil, fruit-producing soil, life-changed soil in each one of us. That, Lord, we may go out and fall more and more in love with you, and that you may write your word on our heart, transforming our lives into its likeness. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our text this morning continues our study of the book of Ruth. Now, notice the story thus far. Ruth has gone out to a local field in order to glean, or maybe better, scavenge grain so that she and Naomi simply can have something to eat. In the process of gleaning, she has inadvertently wandered into a section of the field where she does not have permission to glean. Now, when Boaz, the owner of that section of the field, arrives from town to check on the progress of his workers, he sees an unknown woman on his land. Therefore, he asks his young field watchers who she is and why she is in his field. The young watcher informs Boaz that she is the young Moabite woman that they have all heard about, who has returned with Naomi from Moab. Not only that, he goes on to report to his master that she has worked hard all day without causing any trouble. In our text this morning, we get to watch, we get to hear Boaz's response to the watcher's report. Listen. "Then in strength said to companion, 'Listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go and glean in another field. Furthermore, be careful not to cross over from this one, but stay here with my maids.'" Notice it wants the resolve. With verse 8, we have the very first face-to-face encounter, the very first face-to-face interaction between Boaz and Ruth. Okay, so it's finally happened, and we've been on the edge of our seat, and every time we think it's about to happen, something stupid comes up, right? And so, remember, Ruth wanders into Boaz's field, and we think, this is it. But Boaz isn't even there. Naomi and Ruth come back from town, come back from Moab, and they get to town. But Boaz seems to pay little attention to it. Naomi isn't really thinking at all about Boaz. It all seems to just slip through the sheaves. But finally, at last, in verse 8 of chapter 2, Boaz and Ruth finally meet. Not only that, notice before we even get to the specifics of this encounter, before we even get to watch this encounter unfold, verse 8 very quietly presents us with the turning point of the whole book. Okay, so quietly that you might not have even noticed it. Remember, we're to listen to Scripture. Don't rush through it. Don't go for the cliche. Don't go for the easy expectant answer. But stop and listen. And so notice in the first five words of this verse, we have the entire turning point of the whole book. And not just of the whole book, but everything that is writing on this book. Remember, it's not just Ruth and Naomi's well-being that's at stake. It's the entire Davidic dynasty that will come directly out of the events of this book. It's the line of the Messiah, which is promised to the house of David. Remember, he shall sit upon his father David's throne forever. Okay. In other words, it is really at stake here is the entire history of redemption as you and I know it. It's all at stake right here, and this is the turning point of all of that. It's all set in motion right here in the first five words of verse 8. And then Boaz said to companion. That's the turning point of the whole book and the whole of redemptive history, really. How? Now, how can I make that claim? Well, notice Boaz does not run Ruth off. However, neither does he simply give a nod of consent with no further thought about Ruth. Okay, those are really the two most likely scenarios of how this is going to work out. Either Boaz is going to come and run her off, or he's going to look at his worker and say, that's fine, and then go about the important business of the day and give no further thought to Ruth. But either of those scenarios are equally devastating to the account of Ruth. If he runs her off, or if he just gives a nod and gives no thought about her, regardless, we don't have an encounter between Ruth and Boaz, and therefore we don't have everything that's going to follow from this encounter. Okay? But that's not what Boaz does. Instead, notice the extraordinary surprise, and everything that we're going to see here is absolutely extraordinary. Notice the extraordinary surprise, and with it, the turning point of the book. Boaz, the wealthy Judean landowner, goes over to Ruth, the impoverished, dirty, she's been working in the field all day, the impoverished, dirty, foreign gleaner, and he talks to her personally. That is extraordinary because that sort of thing just didn't happen, and it doesn't happen today, okay? So the CEO of the company very rarely comes down and talks to the dude living under the bridge, right? He's busy, he's successful, he's doing stuff, right? And Boaz, and the owner of a field, isn't going to go out and personally invest in an impoverished peasant gleaner, especially a foreign one. He's got people that watch over and handle and regulate his field, okay? So this is absolutely extraordinary. He goes and talks to her personally. This is so important because every detail of verse 8 and 9, as we're going to watch it, just keep this in mind, every detail shows us that Boaz's kindness to Ruth is completely beyond any of the norms or customs of the day. It is outlandish, and it's going to absolutely scramble Ruth's brain. We're going to watch that. But you just need to know that this is absolutely extraordinary and beyond any of the norms or customs of the day. As such, Boaz's kindness is lavish and unheard of. Lavish and unexpected. Listen. Then in strength said to companion, listen carefully, my daughter. Next notice what Boaz says to Ruth. First he tells her to listen carefully. In other words, now, listen to scripture. You're there. You're filming the movie called of the Book of Ruth. Okay? How does this play out? Okay? What's Boaz's body language? Notice this is really unexpected, okay? Because the first thing that Boaz tells her, the whole encounter begins by him saying, hey, listen carefully. In other words, Boaz did not go out there to talk to Ruth just to make small talk. Nor did he go to make a polite introduction. Hi, I just wanted to come out and welcome you to the field. Thank you for being here. How's everything going? Have you gotten moved in? Are you all unpacked yet? Are you finding everything okay? Well, we're just so glad to have you with us this morning. That's not what Boaz is doing. Instead, he has come to tell Ruth something of the utmost importance, and therefore he sternly advises her to heed his words. However, that said, notice the way Boaz addresses Ruth. Boaz calls Ruth my daughter, which is a common term of endearment and affection. In other words, even though Boaz's words are stern, they are not negative or hostile. Instead, Boaz is there to look after Ruth's well-being. And that's a positive thing, but it's also a serious thing. And so we see the gravity and the sternness of what Boaz is saying, and at the same time, the compassion and the care and the affection with which he is saying it. This is important. Remember, Boaz has just learned that Ruth is his kinsman's daughter-in-law. Okay? Now, let me call a time out, because Ruth still doesn't know this. Boaz knows who Ruth is because his foreman found out and just told him. Okay? But Ruth has no idea who Boaz is, or even that there is a Boaz. Okay, Naomi's going to have to explain that to her later. All right, and so this is important, because this passage that we're reading is just electric. It's charged with so much emotion, and the author wants this emotion to draw you into the account, right? This is a text that's supposed to delight you. But at the same time, that emotion is going to be like gunpowder or a catapult that propels the events that follow forward. And not only that, they tell us something about the people whose hearts are having these emotions. And so we need to make sure that we correctly identify what the emotions are in this passage, or we're going to be out of focus as we go forward. We'll be looking for the wrong thing, and so we won't see the thing that God wants us to see. So if you're staging this movie, if you're the director of this movie, okay, how are you advising your actress who's playing Ruth, okay? What is her facial expressions right now? What's her body language right now? In other words, if I ask you, what is Ruth feeling here? Okay, probably the answer I would get a lot is that she's so thankful. She's going to get to glean, right? She's so thankful. She is so relieved. So much is riding on her being able to find food for her and Naomi. She's just relieved, and she's overjoyed. Okay, that's probably the response you would give, right? And you are absolutely wrong. See how I set you up here? Anyway, you would be absolutely wrong, okay? Because as we listen to Ruth when she responds, she doesn't fall on the ground and say, "Thank you, this means so much." She falls on the ground and asks, "Why?" Okay, because Ruth doesn't have any idea who Boaz is, so she's missing the key piece of information that makes sense of everything that's going on. This is so over the top. This is so unexpected. Ruth isn't overjoyed. She's too overwhelmed to be overjoyed. She is baffled. And we're going to see that as we go. So that's Ruth's emotion. But notice, on the other hand, the other part of it is notice that Boaz has just learned that Ruth is his kinsman, Naomi's daughter-in-law. In other words, what Boaz is doing here is looking out for Ruth as a kindness to Naomi. In fact, it needs to be made crystal clear that there is no Hallmark movie channel music playing in the background here, right? Nor is there a blush or a spark of love, or that moment when their eyes meet. Oh, it's just so precious. Stop. Okay? Stop it already. Okay? The book of Ruth is not the chick flick version in the Bible. Okay? It's not. And if you're looking for that, you're going to miss what it actually is. And so we need to be really clear here that the solitary object of Boaz's help, of Boaz's care, is Naomi. She is the single object of his care, the single object of his help. It's Naomi, who he is assisting by assisting Ruth, her daughter-in-law. Are we clear? Got that? Because we're not going to find that gate. I'll just, spoiler alert, okay? Boaz, this big romantic novel in the Bible, Boaz, when he gets down to it, is going to flip a coin with another kinsman, and whoever wins the coin toss is going to take Ruth. That's not quite exactly it, but it's not the romance novel. There's something much more going on here than a cheap chick flip. Okay, no, listen. Then his strength said to companion, Listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go glean in another field. Next, notice the instructions that Boaz gives to Ruth. First, he tells her not to go and glean in another field. Now, this is important because at once verses 8 and 9 confirm our understanding of the very real risk that Ruth is taking by going out to glean. We saw that, and now we're having it confirmed because everybody else is responding to that very real risk. Thus, even though allowing foreigners to glean is required by the Old Testament law, the Old Testament law specifically mentions foreigners and widows, both of which Ruth counts for. Even though it is required by the Old Testament law, in practice, it was often unsafe, especially for a foreign woman. Therefore, Boaz's instruction is given to prevent Ruth from running into potential harm in another field. Not only that, it also points to the cover or the protection that Boaz is directly, personally providing Ruth. In other words, the reason she is to stay in his field is because he will ensure her safety while she is there. Now, this is so important. Why? Because notice at once behind every detail of all the instruction that we're going to see in our passage this morning is Boaz's extraordinary commitment to help Naomi through Ruth. As such, Boaz tells Ruth not to glean elsewhere, not simply because of the safety reasons, but because there is no need for her to take such a risk. Why? Because Boaz is going to ensure that both Naomi and Ruth have plenty to eat. Don't go glean in another field. One, it's not safe. And two, there's no reason for you to do that. I will take care of you. That's what's going on. Right? Listen. Do not glean in another field. Furthermore, be careful not to cross over from this one, but stay here with my maids. Next, notice that right after Boaz tells Ruth not to go glean in another field, he goes on to say, furthermore, be careful not to cross over into another field. However, please note, Boaz is not being repetitive here. This isn't just meaningless redundancy, but it sounds like it, right? Don't go into another field. Don't cross out of this one into another one. It sounds like he's saying the same thing, but he's not. Instead, after telling Ruth that there is no need to seek grain in another field, he also warns her to be careful not to mistakenly wander into another person's portions of the field, which is exactly what Ruth did and is exactly how Ruth got onto Boaz's land. Not only that, to ensure that this sort of mistake will not happen again to this foreign girl who doesn't know the layout of the land, who doesn't recognize which workers belong to which landowners, and so it's easy for her to get, you know, dislocated in this otherwise nondescript field, okay? To ensure that this sort of thing does not happen again, Boaz tells Ruth to stick close, okay? Now, that word literally is cling to, okay? To stick close or to cling to his maidservants. This is so important because remember, the maidservants were the young women who would come along behind the male reapers and bundle up the grain after the reapers had cut it. And so if you're gleaning, it goes like this. The reapers are going first and they're going row by row down in an orderly manner. And so they're going and cutting the grain. And then the maidservants of the landowner would come behind the reapers and gather it up into bundles and tie it and then put it on a cart. And when the cart got filled, they'd bring in another cart and so on. Okay. And then after that, once the workers, the field workers, the owner's workers had moved on, then, tagging kind of far behind, would be the gleaners who would come and gather up anything that was dropped or left over. That's the order. That's the picture. Keep that in mind, okay? Notice the result. Staying close to the bundling girls not only kept Ruth in the right field, it also allowed her to collect more grain than would normally be possible. In fact, notice what just happened. Boaz has not just moved Ruth up from being last in the gleaning line. Remember, she is a foreigner, goes and she gleans last so as not to present competition or cause resentment among the native gleaners. But what Boaz has done is not simply moved her up from being last in line to being now first in line. There's more to it. She is now in a place that is closer than even the native gleaners were allowed to be. Ruth is now with the bundling girls. Okay? You see that? Cling, this word strong here. Cling to, stick close to, stay right with. In other words, Boaz has taken Ruth from the back of the gleaning line and has placed her in the company of his workers. Therefore, instead of having to wait for them to clear out these workers, Ruth is right there with them. They're harvesting. She's just picking up what they drop, but she's getting the first shot, right? And this is so over the top extraordinary, okay, that you're going to find in the next verse that Boaz has to make sure that his workers understand that this is his doing. This isn't something that some goofy foreigner is trying to do, okay? He has to take precautions because it's so over the top. And not only that, as Ruth is sitting there listening to this, all she wanted to do was glean, okay? Notice the picture. Boaz, you know, she's sitting there gleaning, she's taking a break, and all of a sudden, a well-dressed guy. You can tell he's the owner, the way he's dressed and the interactions and the way other people, all the workers are treating him. He walks in, okay, and he notices somebody he hasn't seen before, and he's kind of checking her out to see who she is. And then he calls his field watcher over, and he's like, you know, this is what Ruth notices. She sees it, and he's like, and the field worker's talking. And then Boaz doesn't go right away over to Ruth. He goes, as we're going to see, and has a conversation with his foreman and with his workers and with his maids. And now Ruth is watching. She knows it's all about her. And now Boaz comes back over with his foreman, with his field watcher, and with his chief reaper. And he comes over to Ruth, and she knows she's about to get cuffed and stuffed. She's about to get run off. He's brought the muscle with him. Okay, and the first thing he says is, he said, listen carefully. You better listen carefully to me, young lady. Okay? And she knows this is it. Okay? Her heart sinks. But then he says, my daughter. And that's not the language you use. That's not your word choice when you're about to run somebody off. And now all she wanted, and it start, is Ruth is completely baffled. She has no idea. It's just over the top. She went from, oh no, to, oh, wait, what? What am I supposed to do? Well, huh? Okay, you've got to see the emotion here because it's incredible. And remember that Boaz, his name's in strength in Hebrew, that we've seen over and again, that Yahweh is the strength of in strength. And therefore, he is God's instrument that God is using to deliver. And so what we're seeing here is a picture of what God's deliverance sometimes looks like. Okay? You thought sometimes it was confusing when you went through a hard time? Okay? It's not just hard times. Sometimes God's deliverance is unnerving because it is so overwhelming. It is so pervasive. Okay? That's what we're seeing here. We got to notice that. Okay? Listen to verse 9. Let your eyes be on the portion of the field which they work and follow behind them. Next notice, Boaz tells Ruth not only to stay close to his maids, but also to keep her focused on the portion of his field in which they are working. Why? Because gleaning tends to be less methodical than reaping is. When you're reaping, you're going row by row and section by section so as to not miss anything. However, when you're gleaning, if a gleaner sees a nice bunch of grain lying a row or two over, they may well break from the reapers that they have been following and go gather that grain before another gleaner sees it and gets to it. Thus, Boaz tells Ruth not to do this. Instead, she is to stick in formation with his workers. Why? First, wandering off is a good way to find yourself in another potentially less friendly field. Second, there is no need for Ruth to frantically, notice the whole, everything's changed. Notice the emotional change. Instead of frantically scampering from place to place, from morsel to morsel, Ruth doesn't have to do that anymore. Instead, Boaz has not only set her in the optimal place to glean, he will also ensure that she and Naomi have plenty of grain, more than even the best gleaner could acquire. Indeed, I have commanded the young men not to touch you. Next, notice Boaz goes on to assure Ruth that he has commanded his young men not to touch her. This is important. Why? Because first, Boaz's assurance here underscores the uncommon and extraordinary nature of the kindness that he's showing. He has to go and explain it to his workers because it's not anything they would have ever guessed. So think about it. Normally, if a worker saw a gleaner, especially a foreign gleaner, pushing their way forward and trying to stand with the bundlers and snatch more grain or better grain than they should, those workers would beat that gleaner up and run him or her off. In fact, no one would have ever dreamed that the landowner gave any gleaner such privilege, such permission. Therefore, Boaz assures Ruth that he has made it explicitly clear to his workers that her placement is his doing and they are not to bother her. Not only that, verse 9 also confirms our understanding, again, of the very real danger that gleaning presented to a woman, especially a foreign one. Thus, not only is there a danger of being physically mistreated and run off by a landowner and his workers, there is also the danger of being sexually assaulted or abused by unscrupulous workers. However, Boaz assures Ruth that in his field, she is under his direct protection and care. One last point. When you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the servants draw. Finally, Boaz tells Ruth that whenever she gets thirsty, she is to go to the vessels and drink from what the servants draw. This is important. First of all, to be granted to drink from what the landowner has supplied for his own workers was a privilege not extended to gleaners. Not only that, notice the contrast. Not only has Boaz commanded his workers not to harm Ruth, he now instructs them to actually serve her. When you're thirsty, go to the water pitchers and drink from what my servants serve you. You start to see why Ruth's mind is blown? Okay? Simply put, when you consider this privilege of drinking and being served by Boaz's servants, together with her placement with the bundler girls, along with the cover of protection that Boaz has given her, what you begin to realize is that Boaz has made Ruth as close to equal with his other workers as is possible. And it all happened like this. And it all happened when Ruth thinks she's about to get run off. Bottom line, every detail of verses 8 and 9 underscores the lavish and unheard of nature of the kindness that Boaz has shown to Naomi and Ruth. However, please make no mistake about it. At this point in the text, Ruth is not overwhelmed or is not overjoyed by Boaz's kindness. Instead, she is utterly baffled. She can't begin to understand what has just happened or why. So for now, instead, she feels dizzy. Her ears are ringing. In fact, from the look of it, I think she's about to faint. And spoiler alert, next week, you're going to see she all but faints. Okay? She is overwhelmed. So for now, we leave Ruth in the middle of a field, speechless and way too overwhelmed to be overjoyed. And as we go on our way, we also have a perplexity. We are left to ponder a picture of God's deliverance, which is swift, unstoppable, and at times, downright unnerving, when God's hand works in your life in such a profound way. And that's exactly the picture that we're being shown. So we get to ponder that a bit, what God's deliverance looks like and feels like.